I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon, KSL News Time 4:30. I'm Maria Chalaos in again today for Jeff Kaplan. Sunny skies in downtown Salt Lake City and 48 degrees. KSL's top story this hour. Utah health officials say a person from southern Utah who recently traveled to South Africa is the state's first patient with the Omicron variant of COVID-19.
The Utah Department of Health identified the patient only as an older adult and said he or she was fully vaccinated and experienced just mild symptoms. They received monoclonal antibody treatment and are recovering at home. The agency also says the patient and their close contacts have followed all guidelines for isolation and quarantine. While there's still a lot we don't know about Omicron, the CDC recommends all travelers get tested between 3 and 5 days after returning home. Becky Bruce, KSL News Radio.
Scientists at the Utah Public Health Laboratory did the work to sequence the sample from the patient and confirm that it is, in fact, the Omicron variant. Dr. Kelly Okeson is the chief scientist for that project. He says it takes time to confirm which variant they're looking at.
Right now, we're averaging 8 to 10 days from sample collection to sequencing result. And that's pretty much in line with what CDC is doing for their contact or for their sequencing cases. They're around 14 days from data collection to sequencing results. So we're a little bit under that.
In this case, Okeson says they knew they had someone who had just traveled from South Africa. So they went ahead and started sequencing even before they had the PCR test results. With a rise in the Omicron cases across the country, how safe will it be to travel for the holidays? Here's KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe.
The director of epidemiology at Intermountain Primary Children's Hospital, Dr. Andrew Pavia, says travel should be relatively safe if you're fully vaccinated and boosted. He just advises being responsible and taking precautions, think wearing a mask indoors and around unvaccinated people.
Dr. Pavia also says he'll take the mask off around relatives who are also fully vaccinated. Our top national story this hour. Travel may be safe, but Omicron could delay return to office plans for companies.
Many big companies remain mostly remote with plans for a return to office in January, but with Omicron, some companies are now tapping the brakes again. Google saying it will wait until the new year to assess when offices will be repopulated. Business experts say it's hard to imagine Omicron won't impact return to office goals. San Jose State Professor Ahmed Banafa says the pandemic has proven to the tech world jobs can be done at home.
We have to get out from that shell of 2019 and before. We have to mix the virtual and the physical.
Alex Stone, EBC News.
National unemployment rates are flirting with pre-pandemic lows. President Biden celebrated the new numbers this morning.
Today's news means that unemployment rate has now fallen by more than 2 percentage points since I took office. That's the fastest decline in a single year on record.
Numbers dropped from 4.6% to 4.2%. The Biden administration reacted to a very close Senate vote last night that could have stripped funding to enforce the president's vaccine mandates.
Democratic Senator Joe Manchin voted against stripping vaccine mandate funding Thursday, but says he's open to saying yes in another bill. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki insists they're not forcing anyone to get a shot.
One, it's vax or test, and obviously that is something we feel we have every authority to do based on a 50-year-old law.
Democrats cannot afford to lose even one Senate Democrat if Republicans challenge the mandate funding again. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Raw emotions in the Cache County School District as parents and students criticized educators for cases of racist behavior among the students. But that wasn't the only thing that educators were criticized about. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
The Cache County School District took sharp criticism over two incidents at Skyline High School. On one side, critics say students of color face far more racist messages than people might think, and two students who wore racist garb like blackface and KKK robes should have never thought that wearing them was funny. On the other side, parents say the video that was shown during an anti-racism assembly was completely inappropriate, and it was designed to shame white students and portray all cops as bad.
The district superintendent said he will take concrete steps to investigate cases of racism at the school. There are half as many school resource officers in Salt Lake City School District schools compared to before the pandemic, and the district is trying to change that. The Salt Lake Police Department went through serious staffing shortages, so they asked if they could reduce the number of officers in schools. Yandri Chatwin with the school district says that they agreed because they were teaching classes remotely then.
We have always had the budget to fund the full number of officers in the MOU that we have with Salt Lake Police Department, and so we're excited to be in these conversations again.
Chatwin says they are negotiating with the police department to bring those officers back as soon as possible.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.